Morning, everyone. Great to be with you this morning. Because it's a shorter service this morning, I'm doing a one-off sermon. I hope that will become clear. Let's pray this morning. Father God, as we come to your word now, your living word, we thank you, Father, for speaking to us. We thank you for coming into our lives and showing us who you are. And we pray, Lord, that we would be humble to receive your word. We pray that we'd be listening well and that our hearts would be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a little while, 1,500 people are going to run past this hall. 1,500 people. It's a wonderful time of unity. It's a great time of fun and excitement, achievement and celebration. It would be great if life was like that all the time, wouldn't it? If life was one big celebration, not just in Corsham, but in the whole world. Unfortunately, many of us know the reality of this type of unity is only temporary unity. Once the race ends, once the clean-up has happened, we return to a world that is deeply divided by politics, values, priorities, and even our own family lives. The Bible suggests there's a deeper rift, not just between people, horizontally, if you like, but the deeper rift is actually vertically, between us and God. So the question this morning I want to pose to you is there a unity that can actually last? Well, we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 2 now, verses 1 to 11. Michael's going to come and read for us, and we're going to see what the Bible has to say about unity. Thank you, Michael.
Well, Adam said 1 to 11, but I think he meant 11 to 22.
Thank you very much.
And it's about us, because we're the Gentiles. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Michael. Well, as usual, keep that passage open. Verses 11 to 22 as we walk through it together. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians from a prison cell. Often Paul is in a prison cell, isn't he? It's important to note the reason he was in prison is actually directly related to the topic we're looking at this morning. Paul was in trouble because he was accused of breaching a wall, in simple terms. Now, if we go back to the temple in Jerusalem, great, thank you very much. The temple of Jerusalem was made up of different parts in the day of Paul. I've highlighted the parts which I'm talking about this morning, because otherwise there's loads of things to look at. But number one, the court of the Gentiles. If you weren't Jewish, the only place you could go to the temple to worship was the court of the Gentiles. So that would be us. You then had the court of the women, okay, obvious, only the women could go there to worship. Through the gate there, which I can't pronounce, the court of Israel was where the Jewish men were allowed, only the Jewish men. And then in that inner temple bit there, only the high priest was allowed to go in there. And he was only allowed to go in to the Holy of Holies, the very inner centre of that temple, on one day a year to meet with God. So physically, there are lots of restrictions there. I hope you can see that. Physical walls. But also, we read in this passage that there were other things that were blocking and being a barrier, which we'll talk about as we go through. But there were religious laws that stopped non-Jews entering into Jewish places. And so only Jews could worship God. Now that's a lot of barriers, isn't it? I mean, imagine here, right here in Neston Hall, if we put up those kind of walls and barriers. I mean, what's quite nice for my illustration is there's a massive thick curtain over there. Imagine in there, on the stage, was the Holy of Holies. And only the pastor, once a year, could walk through the curtain to make sacrifices to God. And then let's imagine the chairs here, only the men could sit on the chairs. The women, you can stand at the back if you like. And any outsiders could just look through the windows. And that's how it would be, day after day after day. Hugely restrictive. Imagine what worship space would be like under these rules. In fact, a detail I missed out was only men who were circumcised could go into the court of Israel. That was a bit awkward in the morning, isn't it? How are you going to make sure those people are the right people going in there? Thank goodness we don't have to do that. Now, back to the temple. When Paul speaks of a wall of hostility, he's not just speaking in the abstract. He's talking about his physical representation of the division and exclusion from the people of God. So look at the Bible verses. So then, remember that at one time, you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those called the circumcision, Jews, a physical circumcision made by flesh, by human hands. Remember that at that time, you were without Christ. You were aliens from the nation of Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Okay, so there were huge barriers there, weren't there? You don't have to go too far to discover wars of hostility that divide people in our world today. Unfortunately, conflict is one of the most ordinary spaces in which we live as human beings. That's true on a global level, isn't it? Israelites, Palestinians, Ukrainians versus Russians, American versus Iranians. And it's also true on a national level. Just look at the news every single day, mudslinging between the various UK political parties on a daily basis. I don't know if you saw the news this morning, another assassination attempt on Donald Trump. And just this week, the murder of a social media influencer by another social media influencer driving a car in a London street outside a nightclub. It's devastating disunity, division, barriers and wars. And so often we think to ourselves, it's my will, not thy will, be done. We've got huge barriers and huge walls everywhere. And not even on these national scales. It can even be in the back seat of our cars. Two sweet, innocent children falling out because they're tired and they're irritable with each other. I want you to think for a moment about a conflict in your life where there's disunity, division. It don't take me long to think about my own family and think about divisions that are there, walls that I've built and that they've built against me. I want you to hold that in your mind for a moment, your own personal experience, not mine. And now I want you to think about conflict like a brick wall that is built between us and that group of people. How do we build these walls? Well, they are moments in time, intentionally or unintentionally done. They are words taken and words spoken. Love withheld, a bitter word, a hateful comment, a cold shoulder,
a lack of forgiveness and grace. And brick after brick is laid down until sometimes the wall is so high and so thick it seems impossible to change. Can I have the next slide, please? The question is, how can we break down our walls? How can we break down our walls? Now we need to think about what Jesus has done. What does it say here that Jesus has done, verses 13 to 18? I wonder how many of you have seen the movie War Horse. Anyone seen that movie? A few people seen that movie? Well, that movie is a great book. It's a movie and it's stage production. It takes place during World War I. I'm going to describe a scene to you if you've never seen it before. There's one particular scene where the British army are entrenched on one side and the German army are entrenched on the other side. And if you know your history, you know in World War I, the bit in the middle was called No Man's Land. And it was a complete mess. It was a place where they were shooting bullets into each other's bodies, skewering each other with bayonets, filling each other's lungs with toxic mustard gas. Those things are not easy to talk about. Those things are the realities of war. And the reason I describe that in detail, to give you the context of this scene. Now, at one point, in the middle of this kind of no man's land, the horse, the war horse, gets up and runs straight into barbed wire. You might remember that scene. And it gets so tangled up that it's trapped on the battlefield right between these two armies. And there's this amazing scene where I think the British soldier lifts up a white flag and says, pause the battle for a moment. I'm going to walk out onto the battlefield. The first step he takes, someone takes a sniper shot at him. But over time, the guns stop. Everything goes silent. And there is a German soldier there and a British soldier working together with pliers to cut this horse out of the barbed wire. Just for a moment, that horse brings two opposing sides into the bonds of peace. Why? Why does a horse do that? Because in that moment, there is shared compassion for this helpless creature. There is shared compassion. The walls of hostility fell down for a moment, which means it is possible. It is possible to bring down the walls. Now, if you know the film, sadly, after that, the orders come through, commence the battle, and the battle commences, and they go back into killing each other, which is really terrible. But the question before us still remains, how can we break down our walls with each other? And how can we break down our walls with God? How can we break down the horizontal? How can we break down the vertical? Here's the key verse phrase in the whole passage. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, but now. But now. Something has changed because of Jesus. This is the gospel. This is the good news. The Bible says that Jesus has put to death all hostility, his death on the cross. Now, looking around the room, mature Christians, been a Christian for a long time, some of us have, and we've heard that many times before, haven't we? We've heard that many times before. Jesus died on the cross to kill hostility. But have you ever asked yourself how that works? What really happened? How did Jesus do that? Well, the biggest wall I've already said of hostility in the universe is the wall built between us and God. How many times have we added bricks to that wall by our pettiness, our anger, our lying, our cheating? How many times have we thought, my life, my rules? Shove off, God, I'm not interested. Now, the Bible calls that sin, doesn't it? And all those sins build up a wall between us and God. But you know the amazing news? Well, first of all, the amazing news is, I've just skipped a sentence. I was going to say, if anyone has the right to be hostile towards us, it would be God, because of the wall we've built. But God looks at us. He looks at you and he looks at me. And he says, I've died to smash that wall to pieces. I've died to your sin and the many times you've hurt me and others. And he says, I forgive you. I love you. That's so powerful, isn't it? I forgive you and I love you. And as he looks at us with that eternal love, all those bricks that we've built just vanish. Just vanish. They're gone. So we need to think about, what are we now? God has done that because he loves us so much. What does that mean for our lives today? When Jesus looks at the walls of hostility that still remain between us and other people, Jesus says, I've knocked down those too. I have proclaimed peace. I am the Prince of Peace. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for me and you today? If Jesus has done that, he is claiming he is the Prince of Peace. What difference does that make to our lives here in Neston now? Well, look at verse 19. Paul says we are now members of the household of God. Think about what that means for you today. We are now no longer guests. We are members of his household. If you're a member of someone's household, you aren't a guest or a visitor who has to be on their best behaviour, are you? You have a key to the front door. You have a seat at the table. Being in God's household means you finally and you truly belong. You're no longer defined by your past or your bricks or which side of the wall you used to stand on. In verse 21, Paul goes further and he says, he uses the image of a building being joined together. He says in verse 21, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. The reality is that we aren't just a collection of individuals sitting on chairs in Neston. We are interdependent. That means, like the stones in a wall, we support one another. We no longer use those bricks to build a wall between us and God, but actually, we support one another. We encourage one another. And sometimes that shaping is uncomfortable, isn't it? We're being moulded to be more like Christ. It's uncomfortable. Sometimes our rough edges rub against each other, but this is how God fits us together into something beautiful. The most mind-blowing reality is that God doesn't live in a building made of stone and mortar anymore. The temple was stone, mortar and cement, wasn't it? Built by human hands. Well, the Bible says God no longer dwells in the temple. The temple is now inside us. The temple is now inside us. We are the temple. He lives in us. He lives in you and me when we believe and trust in Jesus. And as a household, we are the place where we can demonstrate to the world what God is like. In a moment, the world is going to be running past this door. We've got a huge opportunity, haven't we? When we let the walls down, when we forgive others and mend the divisions, we become that holy temple, a place of safety, light, and welcome for everyone else still trapped behind their own walls. So what about your walls today? And I'm speaking to myself here this morning and the divisions in my family. We need to look at each of the bricks that make up our walls, each of those hurtful things that we cling to. Each of those things once you and I were defined by. Once there was the other person far off on the other side and you on the other side. But now, because of God's love demonstrated in Jesus and through the power of God's Spirit moving between us, we can let go of the past. We can crush the bricks and we can work towards the future of peace in the presence of God. Sometimes at the end of my sermon, I'd say, amen, and that would be it. But I want to acknowledge that life is complex. Life is difficult. Life is challenging for all of us sitting here this morning. However, I think that many times, myself included, we hide behind these walls and use them as an excuse for not loving the way Jesus called us to love. I want to lay a challenge down for you this week. Maybe this week you could start with one brick. Just one brick. Think about the walls in your life and think about the bricks. Choose one thing that someone has done to you and write it down. Write it down. And then ask God to give you the strength to smash it by the power of his Spirit. God will help us. God will help you. Jesus has smashed it already. Just let yourself see it crumble away. One brick at a time, let's let the walls fall down and show the world the love of God through the power of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that while we were still far off, you didn't leave us behind a wall. You came to us in Jesus, took the bricks of our hostility upon yourself, and smashed them forever at the cross. Father, forgive us for the walls that we've rebuilt with our own hands, the bricks of pride, the mortar of bitterness, and the fence of us versus them. By your Spirit, give us the courage this week to let those walls crumble. Help us to see the people in our lives not as strangers or aliens, but as those whom Christ died for. As we leave this building today, may we be your living temple in Corsham. Let our lives show this community a unity that doesn't end when the race is over, but a peace that lasts forever because of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.